top five on the road coach.
There it is.
Let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rocon Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Okay. We're going to checking in at. I got it. Don't worry.
Number five.
There, see? Came through for you.
There you go.
Huge. At least 41 people were shot, 7 fatally, in the city of Chicago over Memorial Day weekend, including 5 people shot in a single incident Sunday on the Near West Side. The holiday weekend was seen as an early test, many say, of Mayor Lori Lightfoot's new police strategy and her administration's focus.
It is quite amazing to see my email populated, you know, every few minutes, it seems, with reports of people being shot. That's just an unacceptable state of affairs, and I think there's many causes to it.
Yeah, she's not a person who is a stranger to police policy, having served on police boards and having been thoughtful about everything. You know, her plan going into this weekend was to have 1,200 additional police officers on the streets. And you heard some of the police officers sort of saying, well, we should cancel our vacation at the last minute, but okay, this is the strategy. And a lot of people had a lot of hope that combined with the weather, because I don't care what you say, but when it's raining and severe weather's moving
tornado warnings.
Typically, people stay inside, but it still was a deadly weekend with a lot of shootings in the city of Chicago. Not what you want to see, and obviously not what this mayor finds acceptable.
Well, look, I had no illusions that we were going to be able to wave a magic wand and everything was going to be perfect. But I think we definitely made some progress in some areas. In other areas, we clearly have more work to do. So we were successful in, I think, providing a lot of healthy alternatives to neighborhoods. Again, I haven't gotten the granular detail yet, but I think we definitely did have some success.
Yeah, I don't know what to say. I think she gets A for effort for her first week. I thought that the idea that she put this much emphasis and this much, leadership into the issue of gun violence starting on Memorial Day. She started a month ago with a two-day symposium with cops. She put 1,200 more police officers on the street, regardless of, you know, if that worked or not. And she also was did a ride along. She was actually at a police shooting.
She was riding along with police officers on the west side, I believe, when they were responding to, south side, when they were responding to a shooting.
All of that leads to me, all of it, you sum all that stuff up and you recognize someone, and it's early, and obviously there's still enthusiasm for the job maybe, but this desire to know what she's getting into, to tackle this issue that she campaigned on, that she had solutions for. And I like that about the mayor. I like that about Mayor Lightfoot, that she is not casting no aspersions. And I also would say, you know, there are no cameras on that ride along. There are no video of her down at the shooting being like, hey, I'm the mayor. What's up, everybody? Take your picture. She's doing the job as opposed to posing for the job. And I'm not
thoughtful about it.
I don't think that's necessarily what the last mayor did, but that would be one of the areas that you felt that you didn't necessarily know what was a camera moment and what was the real deal taking ownership and leadership in the city.
You definitely get the sense it's not about optics with her. She genuinely cares about making those neighborhoods safer for the people who live there. She's talked about alternatives for the young people who choose to be involved in wilding incidents downtown or be involved in some of these some violent episodes, if they're ancillary players or primary players in those things, that there are other things for them to do, so that's not the reason that they decide to take to these kinds of things.
And she went out a couple days before and talked to different churches. She's trying to engage community leaders to say, hey, this summer let's all get together, if you see something say something. She's trying to get rid of that no snitch code. I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of which ways you're going to go. And like you said, this could all be next weekend and be a sunny weekend and you could have 100 shootings. Yeah. But it seems to me that the optics, if that's the word we're using, I mean, the optics for Lori Lightfoot in her first week is, I am rolling up my sleeves and I'm getting to work.
I'm going to figure this out.
That's a good thing to have as a mayor who was just elected.
Even if the outcome of this weekend, as she put it, is unacceptable.
Unacceptable, and it is.
She's trying to be thoughtful, and you feel as if she really wants to solve this and said it was her first priority for this city. Now, the interesting thing I thought is that a lot of people said, okay, you're putting 1,200 additional officers on our streets, blanketing the communities where we see a lot of violence, patrolling the areas where you would hopefully serve as a preemptive force against anything that might break out. But what I'm hearing from police officers is that some of these shootings happen right over the hood of a police car.
Yeah, they don't care.
Is not a deterrent. The fact that there's an officer there, there's little respect for that. That alone is not going to solve this problem. And I don't think Mayor Lightfoot thinks it will. In fact, she says this is not a law enforcement only solution. It has to be. Community members have to be involved. This is much more than that. This is holistic. You know, she also, interestingly, took a shot, and I wonder if this is the first of many against others who came before. She said there were deliberate policy choices made in the past, in decades past, so she's not just pointing at one person, for people in power to have to deal with impoverished areas on the south and west sides. And she says she wants to be part of the solution to bring jobs back to those communities, to bring opportunities for hope back to those communities. And I'm not saying that I don't think she's saying that others didn't want to do that, but I think she says that this is her focus, to try to restore other options in those communities.
You wonder if that's, I don't know. I don't have the answers.
I don't know.
And there's a lot of better educated people than I, both book smart and street smart, that would have a better understanding of what's needed to curb violence in Chicago. I'm not sure if it's more police, if it's different gun policies, not just for state of Illinois, but for our neighboring states, if it has to do with community engagement and bringing resources to those communities, and also just ruling a little bit with an iron fist to say, this gangbanging can't happen like this anymore.
We have Brian Altheimer, our sonic genius on this very radio program, lives in one of the areas impacted by high crime. And you have, Brian, what do you want to say about that?
It has more to do than just, like you guys said, police. And even with all the programs that they implemented, you know, it all boils down to parents being parents, you know. And a lot of these offenders, you know, shooters or whatever you want to call them, you know, they're getting younger. Whenever you hear these stories now, they're in their teens, they're in their, you know, like 15, 16, and 17.
Right.
So that all boils down to parents just being parents. And there has to be some kind of consequence for the parents. So if there's no consequence for the parents when these kids that are that young doing something that bad, you know, then it's gonna be a cycle.
So you think, like, if I'm a 15-year-old kid and I have a gun and I fire the gun, I get caught with that because he's a minor, whoever is his responsibility should also be punished.
Exactly. I mean, and then, you know, you'll see a change, you know, but until then, you're gonna see these kids, they're gonna keep doing what they're doing. I mean, I'm at the point now where if you can have Barack Obama as mayor, and you'll have the same result, you know. And I think Mayor Lightfoot, as much as she tried and she was visible throughout the weekend, there will still be that element that just don't care what program you put in that neighborhood, what job you put in that neighborhood. They just want to do what they want to do because they figure, okay, I have a camera phone now, so the minute the police drive up on me, I'm going to turn my camera phone on and flip it on them and say, hey, they're abusing me now.
Right.
So that there has to be some kind of solution to you know, to these parents that's not raising their kids, because now you have these 15, 16-year-olds growing up with no rules whatsoever, and they're being put in the system. So it has to be, it starts with the parents. So I think if you punish those parents of these kids that are under 18, then you can kind of nip at the problem.
Well, let me ask you something else, because it does apply to that age group you're talking about. The penalties for minors are much less than if you're of age, right? So we've seen some of that relaxed, and certainly with carjacking, you see gangs intentionally seeking out the younger members of the group to do them because they know that then the penalties will be so much less severe that they could be back on the streets within a matter of days, and that's not a big deal. There's no real consequence to that. And I understand that we've changed laws to try to protect, young people so that they can have new chances. And if it's a nonviolent crime, that potentially is a real solution. But do you hear the people of that age group just say it doesn't matter because I'm going to be out again? Are they fearful of consequences at all?
You'll hear some that say it doesn't matter, but I think if you penalize that parent, I don't, for example, fine them about $200 if they kid does something screwed up, give them a fine, then make that parent responsible for that fine, and that makes them kind of, grab a hold of their kid and at least try to teach them, hey, don't do this, because now what you're doing is affecting my livelihood to keep you in a house or apartment or wherever they live. But there, like I said, there's no consequence, and that's the real problem. There's no consequence for these kids that go out and do things like this.
Yeah, it's a troubling problem. I wonder, I haven't heard that suggested before.
Yeah,
and
but
I wonder,
could you imagine, Brian, though, could you imagine the first time you put a $250 fine on a single mother who is trying her best with six kids, and because of her dumbass 16-year-old son who shot up a house, she's going to lose, the lights are going to go out. I would think that would automatically be shot down, because so many people would feel bad and empathy for the family that's affected.
Yeah, like I said, I don't know the solution. I can only throw suggestions out there and hope, somebody out there is listening. But like right now, there seems to be a revolving
there
door.
Is a parental responsibility piece of this. There's no question. And anybody who has studied it, whether it's the University of Chicago or people like Lori Lightfoot, they will cite that. There is that. And it's just, how do you make people better parents? How do you do that? And then the other issue is the illegal gun piece of this. This is part of what the mayor wants to do, get more illegal guns off the streets. We have a record number of them here in Chicago. Get them out of their hands. Don't parents know when their kid has a gun, right? That's another piece of it, too. Do you know when your child has a gun in the house? And what that now makes your 15-year-old capable of doing? It's shocking. It really is.
It's pretty sad. And until they figure it out, then there's going to be this big revolving door of young kids going in the system, coming back out the system and doing the same thing again, going back in the system. It's pretty much the same thing, because all the, like, especially the big stories that happen and they finally catch the offender, and you find out this kid had a rap sheet about 3-4 pages long because he's been in and out the system because he's been going in for these little legally minute crimes, and then they're letting him back out. There was one over the weekend where this guy up north broke in somebody's house, and luckily the homeowner had concealed carry and shot him, but he was on parole for burglary in another apartment. So it's just one of those things.
And I also, and I think it was at the Whitney Young High School, they caught the two kids who were carjacking the teacher there.
Yeah, in the parking lot at Whitney Young, right after school, right, I believe,
It was the rap sheet on one of those guys, maybe both, but one of the guys was, like you said, it was a mile long. It was a head scratcher to be like, how is this guy?
How is that
out?
Allowed but that after so many offenses that you're still out there after what, matter of days or weeks of not really serving the consequences for these kinds of things? I hope this mayor figures it out. That's what I feel. I hope to God she figures it out. Our city needs it. I think she's a very thoughtful person. Her brother chose a life of crime. She's been very vocal about that. She came from a neighborhood where she was not a stranger to crime. She's, since become a prominent lawyer, but also a member of the police board and its various iterations as it's changed names over the years, and certainly studied these issues. And I get it. The 15-year-old doesn't care who the mayor is. They don't care. But I hope that this mayor figures some things out for all of us. We only got through number five on the top five and five. But maybe we can, what is it? We may take a break here and see what's coming up at the bottom of the hour in the news and kind of finish up as we move along here. Let's go to Kim Gordon and see what is coming up in the WGN news.
A new designation for a popular Indiana park.
It's the Rokan Con Show with me, Anna DeVlantis. Justin Kaufman in studio with us this afternoon.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you here. And we are, well, we started the top five at five. We didn't get very far.
It was a big one, though. It was a big number five.
It was, how about Chicago violence? We care about that. We want our city to do better with that. We need that. All of us. All of us. But now we are checking in at
number four.
See how well I hit that button there? Good. Yeah. Nailed it. Senator Bernie Sanders campaigning in Concord, New Hampshire today. He's telling a crowd of supporters that many school districts across the country are having trouble recruiting teachers because they lack the financial resources needed to fill the positions.
Imagine if we had a rational educational policy which says that teaching is one of the most important professions there is out there, and we're going to pay those teachers the kind of salaries that they deserve so they don't have to work one or two other jobs.
He's suggesting a $60,000 minimum salary, federal, kind of a federal minimum, that's the floor, for teachers. And he says that that's needed in order to attract quality and allow a living wage and the other things that he is known to fight for. In Chicago right now, we've got 71,000 is the average teacher salary. LA, 67,000. But many small towns and many other places do not
lower.
Pay that. Yeah. So he's got that that idea, and I don't think that it doesn't sound outrageous to me, $60,000 for a teacher. We also talked about the economy while in New Hampshire today.
We need more doctors and nurses and dentists and people in those professions. Those are jobs. We are an aging population, and we need people to take care of our parents and our grandparents. Those are jobs.
Or yourself. You're 77, Bernie.
Bernie's grandparents are still living.
Is he talking about his parents, or is he talking about himself here?
I get this email from the president, from Trump. Someone signed me up to this, like a fundraising email. So I'm always interested in what...
Do they bash the Democratic candidates? Is that what you're getting right now?
It's ridiculous how much bashing goes on. To say, wow, this person's so bad. Give me some money. $5, please. This is what he said today about Bernie Sanders. He said, while President Trump, this is the Trump-Pence email, while President Trump has been fighting to make America great again, Democrats like Bernie Sanders are fighting to make America the next Venezuela. And he goes on to say, today is actually Bernie's anniversary, and he loves radical socialism so much that he took his honeymoon to the Soviet Union. What a joke.
Do they have a picture of him on his honeymoon with Jane?
That's it. So I'm like, oh, what a joke.
It gives you some talking points for the day, Justin.
Really nailed it. I get you know, like Bernie Sanders, but I don't know. Maybe it's this. I don't know if this email's for me necessarily, but maybe there's a diehard Trump supporter that is just like, God, I knew it. He went to the Soviet Union. I knew it.
Yeah. I know people do laugh at a lot of the Bernie Sanders proposals because they say, how are you going to pay for it? That's always the second question. Yeah. And I get that piece of it because ultimately, as taxpayers have to pay for all these programs. But at the end of the day, he has changed the agenda for Democrats. I mean, Hillary Clinton, even in the later part of her campaign, was talking about free public college education. She was mentioning some of the things that he has introduced into the dialogue, and he continues to
push. I would say that there are a lot of things that the federal government subsidizes, and some of those things are for corporations, and some of those things are for military, and some of those things that nobody bats an eye at. So the idea of privatizing or subsidizing
Apple paying $0 in taxes,
but subsidizing going to college or free healthcare, it's not, to me, it's not that out of the realm, as many people would argue that it is, because we already do that. What Bernie Sanders is suggesting is that we prioritize. And I think that has been something that has been in this culture for decades upon decades upon decades about what we spend our money on. And this is just to label it socialism, to label it radical, it's not. I remember I was 80s, like the what would have been 1984, the Mondale Reagan. That was the big thing, and that was all about what's free, what's not free. There's a great poster you were mentioning about the teachers. What was the poster that's so famous that was like,
I do remember,
less for bombs, more for bake sale, or that kind of concept. That's been in our country for decades now, and even before the 80s. So to me, it just is playing out in this, and it doesn't mean that anyone's radicalized. It's just a question about priority. That's my thought.
He is prioritizing as he sees fit. Let's check in now at
number three.
Thank you, Orion. Lamar Odom has claimed he was not to blame for that 4-day bender. Remember that at the Nevada brothel that nearly killed him? It's not him. It's not him. Instead, he says he was poisoned by the late owner. The 39-year-old former basketball player is promoting his new autobiography, Darkness to Light, which contains anecdotes about his marriage to Kardashian. It's Khloe, right? He was with Khloe. And his sex and drug addiction as well. To promote it, he has given several interviews, including one on The View. The ladies of The View welcomed Lamar this morning, where he claimed he did not voluntarily take drugs at the Love Ranch, the Nevada brothel, where he nearly died in 2015.
You OD'd pretty much and almost left the planet.
Yeah, I think Dennis Hoff, I don't know what he had against me, but I didn't do drugs that night, to be honest with you. Right. So I don't know if he tried to poison me or Dennis Hoff, the owner of the brothel. Yeah, I don't know what he had against me or
fatigue or the wrong.
Nah.
Did he keep poisoning?
He tried to kill me.
Because you write in the book.
Can you prove it?
Yeah, I can't, but my lawyer has workers at the brothel that said he tried. He almost succeeded, though.
Do we have Mike Monaco on the line here? Because I'm not sure you can say that stuff without having some kind of, I mean, I guess the guy's dead, so maybe that allows him to say it. But wasn't he known to be a drug user and abuser?
Yeah, I guess he's saying, I mean, it's not unheard of in Las Vegas to be roofied, I guess would be what he was talking about. Maybe. I don't know.
He's selling books. He's selling books.
Good luck, Lamar.
All right. I hope he is. Darkness to Light.
Right.
Oh, we have one more clip from Lamar and the ladies of The View.
We weren't able to verify it at ABC News, but in your book, you say you don't remember taking drugs or anything.
I didn't. I've been at odds with my daughter about this. She's like, leave it alone, you know what I'm saying? But I would like to clear my name.
Well, you have begun that process. The process of clearing your name starts when you straighten up and say, I see what I did, I see where I need to go, I know what I've done. So that's happening.
Yeah.
I hope he gets better. I don't know what you gain when you were addicted to drugs, but you say that one night you weren't? He nearly died? Is that what he's trying to say? That this guy might have done something to him?
He was, I mean, I guess it's a famous event, but the life of Lamar Odom is one that is just a series of famous events.
Yeah, well, he does admit in the book that he threatened to kill Khloe while he was hallucinating and on drugs. So
just he also got a lot of this was, publicized because he was on the Kardashians.
Yeah, I think he's trying to sell some books here too. I think that might be part of this whole thing that's going on here. Let's check in now at
number two.
Ellen DeGeneres. She knows the importance of not sweating the small stuff. In an exclusive sneak peek from DeGeneres' upcoming appearance on My Next Guest Needs No Introduction, because Ellen doesn't have enough jobs already. She needs to add one more job to her repertoire. I love Ellen, though. I do. She talks about her My Next Guest Needs No Introduction with David Letterman. She recalls the stressful hours leading up to her first performance on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson in 1986.
Cool.
Well, the first time I was on, I got bumped because Robert Goulet was singing Memories and he kept forgetting the words. So they booked me for the following week and I was so nervous. I had time to really think about it. And I went to a store on Melrose to get something, and I go inside and I come back out. This is the day of that I'm going to go to Carson again. And my car is gone. And I'm like, oh my God, my car got stolen. And then I hear horns honking and everything. And I had forgotten to put the emergency brake on, so it had rolled all the way down. It was in the intersection of La Cienega and Melrose. People are honking and there's no one in the car and it's just rolling. I'm running after the car.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was the day of Carson.
Oh my God.
Oh. You just love Ellen.
Those shows are great.
I think they are. Yeah, I really enjoy his, because he gets really in depth.
Yeah,
and people are very comfortable with him.
And he's
an amazing interviewer.
Howard Stern, and I think President Obama was on, and I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Ellen DeGeneres and Kanye West.
Mm-hmm.
Kanye West is coming up, and that'll be an interesting one. Are those out? Have they been released?
31st.
Okay.
Going to be released.
Yeah, and the Kanye one, I saw a bunch of headlines today that he talks about being bipolar, and he talks about Trump and all that kind of stuff. So
earlier I was talking about, she does have a new show as well. I thought that's what she was promoting. She's got a decent proposal that she does, kind of like a dating show or something like that. I don't know how she manages that schedule, but she's good at all of it, so I guess she should just keep going. It's all working for her. Checking in at
number one.
Now, this is just beautiful. A local weatherman absolutely went off on viewers who complained about tornado coverage interrupting their Bachelorette show last night. Jamie Simpson, the meteorologist for WKEF, an ABC affiliate in Dayton, Ohio. Dayton, you know, like where a tornado nearby actually touched down, slammed social media critics who were up in arms that the Bachelorette had essentially been halted by his special meteorological reports.
Tonight it's dark, it's also rainy. I was just checking social media. We have viewers complaining already. Just go back to the show. No, we're not going back to the show, folks. This is a dangerous situation, okay? It's nice rain. Think about this was your neighborhood. I'm sick and tired of people complaining about this. Our job here is to keep people safe, and that is what we're gonna do. Some of you complain that this is all about my ego. Stop, okay? Just stop right now. It's not. I'm done with you people. I really am. This is pathetic.
He's done with
you. Dangerous situation here. All right. I'm sorry I did that. It just really bothers me that we have people that don't care about other people's safety around here. That's just ridiculous.
Oh my God, I love it.
I know. Yeah. What do you think, Jake? As if the Bachelor and Bachelorette already weren't garbage, to have people complain about these things. Yeah. We've witnessed this firsthand.
Yes.
In TV. Like,
yes.
How hard meteorologists work during these situations.
Oh, nonstop.
I wish people would really realize and respect everything that they're doing.
I love that someone on social media, according to this weatherman, that was like, you're just doing this for your ego.
And then he talks about
it. He's like, I'm not doing it for my ego. I know what you think.
That was
the mistake. We're all thinking at home going, oh, this guy just wants to be on TV talking about this tornado so bad. What a ridiculous thing.
I appreciate the high stress he was under, too, because he's trying to communicate really like life-saving information, truly, in that situation. I get it.
And I don't know if he's the number one guy. Maybe he's the number one guy in Dayton, but it also was a holiday. So to all the people who had to go on and go live, think about it. A lot of it was a holiday crew or had to come in. Like, there was a lot of people that were probably not prepared necessarily to go live and talk about tornadoes.
But you know this, Lauren, too, is that the things that people choose to take issue with or like, pick apart, it's amazing. It never ceases to amaze you. And this is just like, it just absolutely shows in one story
so funny
how bad it can get. I mean, how are you complaining?
And then, you know, if it did roll through their town and they got hurt, they'd be like, well,
why didn't you tell me?
Yeah,
exactly. I don't watch The Bachelor.
Where are you? They got the weather wrong because I watched it 3 hours before and I was watching The Bachelorette and I didn't see.
As Ben Bradley told us earlier today, pro tip, maybe don't check your Twitter feed and look for listener comments while you're on live.
Well, if you check Jamie Simpson's Twitter feed right now, a couple hours ago, he says, to all the national media people trying to contact me, we had an EF3-4 tornado last night, more severe possibly the next 3 days, so let me do my job, please. I think this guy might.
I wonder if any of this is real. Like, I wonder if there was ever any social media. He's like, stop bothering me on social media. National media, stop.
This
stop
guy's
bothering.
Triggered. Now people are just going to troll him on social media.
Right? I feel for him already. This is not going to go well. He's got 2,000 likes on that comment. People are totally after this guy.
It's a tornado. It's a terrible situation.
It is.
But I don't know if
Jamie was there for you.
Yeah, we don't need the weatherman's getting crazy on that. You calm a collective. Give me a little Demetrius Ivory.
Just watch some Tom Skilling and see the tone you should have in these types of situations.
Give me a rolled up sleeve.
Tom doesn't let that stuff bother him.
Exactly.
He doesn't get rattled over a comment about his hair or something.
Right.
Or
maybe Tom needs
his outfit. He doesn't care.
Teach a seminar or something.
Right. Listen, just watch Tom Skilling. All right, we're going to wrap this thing up. And to do that, I just have to press this button right here. There we go.
The top five.
See how I did that, Justin?
That's good.
What a pro.